always encouraging, and I'm always grateful. And thank you for gathering here today. Those of you that will be leaving here to spend more time with perhaps your mother and your grandmother, I would love for you to turn with me to Proverbs 31. I just want to walk you through a bit of encouragement here today, try to explain to you the heart of this passage, and maybe we'll come away with this, not just blessing our moms today for who they are and what they mean to us, but taking a challenge from this passage, every one of us, to think about what it means for us to have the kind of character of a godly woman. So let me read these two verses. These won't be on the screen. This is just kind of the capture, the context, and the essence of the message. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. One of the things that one of my children, my oldest son, a few years ago now, I gave my wife for Mother's Day was a little pillowed kind of a door hanger. And I love it. I get to see it every morning. And on that pillow door hanger is the little phrase. It says, "If I didn't have you as a mother, I'd choose you as a friend. If I didn't have you as a mom, I would choose you as a friend." So what is it about our moms that make them so special to us, and why should we be thankful for them? I mean, what kind of mom are we truly thankful for? Proverbs 31 tells us that it is a mom with this kind of character that is so easily praised, that is so easily affirmed. And so Proverbs 31 wants to show us about that. Now, in my time as a pastor, I've never preached on Proverbs 31. This is my first time. And the reason that is because I feel like it is so daunting. I grew up in the context of women's ministries that were called Proverbs 31 ministries or P31 ministries. And I grew up with teenage girls going through this training on how to be a P31 woman. And it was so daunting to me. It's like, who am I as a man to preach this passage, to lay another layer of, you know, biblical responsibility on women and overwhelm them more than they already are? And so I've ducked and hid from this passage because I just didn't know how to preach it. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to take another run at it here and maybe just get quiet enough and be sensible enough to where maybe the Lord can teach me as I'm trying to frame this in the form of a sermon. And so as I did, I thought, wow, the first thing that leaps out to me about this text that I knew but just completely looked over is that it is written by a mom. These words are charged, if you will, to us from a mother herself. It is the mother of a guy by the name of King Lemuel. We do not know who this King Lemuel is, but evidently he was single. He was a single man, and his mother said, you know what? If you're going to be a noble man, you need to look for a noble wife. Here's what it looks like to look for a virtuous woman. Here's what it looks like as you look out into the world, if you see women doing these things, you can kind of begin to wonder if the heart behind that activity isn't expressed from the kind of godly character that you're looking for. And that's the thing. That's what I want you to see above everything today. That this isn't a checklist for you as a woman. This isn't an appointment calendar for you as a woman. This is a search list for a guy, okay? This isn't a checklist for a woman. It's a search list for a guy. It's actually calling forth from the scriptures biblical character that isn't just for moms. It isn't just for women. It's for men. It's for all of us. But it is perhaps clearly exhibited by the woman that rises to the surface in this text. She's the hero. She's the heroine. And this is the thing that the mother of King Lemuel reinforces. One of the reasons I didn't preach this text is it talks about making your own bedspreads and hanging drapes, you know, making your own. I'm like, you know what? I don't want to preach this context because I'm afraid that women are going to run out of here and feel like they got to start making drapes for their living room, for crying out loud. It's like, you know, if you make bedspreads for your kids and you make drapes for your living room, you go girl. I am not about to disparage that today. Because these are obvious examples of what this kind of godly woman looks like in the culture and the cultural setting that she's in. What I want you to do today is kind of sweep all of the activity and the busyness that goes with what this woman is doing here. And again, look at the heart from which it comes. We are after the heart of this woman, the kind of mom that we want to be thankful for is the kind of mom that has a heart like this woman. We want to be the kind of person that has the kind of heart like this woman. The first thing I love about this woman in this text, and what I did was, and you can do this in your own study, you know, you kind of get your own quiet time with this, but I'm not going to try to exposit the whole text. I'm just going to walk you, like I said, a little bit through here. But as we do that, what I want you to think with me, what rises to the surface of these texts to see maybe if you can even go deeper in your own personal study with it. So I'm giving you a little appetizer here. You go have your own dinner with the Proverbs 31 woman later, okay, and see what you can come up with. But the first thing that jumped out at me about this text that I really resonated with is that she laughs. She laughs. The kind of mom that I'm thankful for is that she laughs. Proverbs 31 verse 25 says, she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. This is not just a laughter that's based on humor, even though a sense of humor is necessary, I believe, if you're going to be anybody. There's nothing wrong with a godly woman having a sense of humor. Now, while again, that's not the real reason why she laughs, I think it's essential. One of the things I've learned about having a relationship with women is that I need to be able to laugh at myself. She needs to be able to laugh at herself. That way, we can laugh at each other. Right? That we both get to laugh at each other's expense. And in doing that, we laugh with each other. I am so thankful that I've got a mom who, again, can chuckle at her own behavior as well as she's chuckling at mine. And she's kind of led me, you know, to not take myself so seriously all the time. And so there's a benefit of having that kind of a character to where you are able to laugh with a sense of humor. You need that. But what this text is talking about is a laughter that is not based on humor merely, but on hope. It's a laughter that's based on hope. The text says that she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. The only way you can laugh without fear of the future is if you have a hope. If you have a hope grounded in something that is larger than the uncertainty of the future, right? She may sell fashion made by her hands. Indeed, Proverbs 31 verse 22 tells us that she does. She makes belted linen garments and sashes to sell to the merchants. So this lady is not just someone who is decked out in the things that she makes for herself and her family. She actually has a trade in it. She's a businesswoman in it. And one of the things that in the midst of that whole fashion sense that she has, this king's mother says what's most important is the character that she wears. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She herself is recognized by a remarkable character. A lot of times, we dress for confidence, right? I mean, the reason I'm wearing a suit, y'all, if you're visiting here today, you're like, who's that guy? I have no idea who he is. Trust me, a lot of people who come here every Sunday looked at me today and went, who's speaking today? Who's this guy, right? Because you don't look like nearly like the guy that we see every weekend, right? But it's Mother's Day, you know? And so I put on the tie. I put on the blazer. I thought it'd give me a little bit more confidence. Besides, Alistair Begg wears it, and he's on the radio. So I thought to myself, if it works for him, it can't be all bad. And so, you know what? Give it a shot, right? And there is something about that, that when you dress a certain way, there's a level of confidence that goes with that. But what this mom is telling this son is, it goes beyond just fashion sense. There's a confidence that goes beyond her fashion sense. As verse 30 tells us, charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Her most important character trait is that she has a healthy reverence for God. The text tells us that she is clothed in strength and dignity. That's what she wears. That's what you see. Not who made her, not what brand she's, you know, flashing on her clothes, not what accessories she has around her. Although that might be there. This mom tells her son that what will be most remarkable about her is the character that comes from beneath it. Strength is a characteristic of youth. Dignity is a characteristic of age. This woman is both young and she's both old. And there's a good reason for that, as we're going to see in a moment. As Proverbs 20 verse 29 says, the glory of the young is their strength. The gray hair of experience, the aged, is the splendor or the dignity of the old. Why? Because beauty changes as we get older. Beauty changes as we get older. You don't have to live very long to where you're going to see that. If you look at yourself in the mirror every day, it's not there. You have to go back and look at pictures of yourself from when you were in high school, when you were in college, before the children came along, right? You have to go, wow, things certainly have changed. In a moment of just stupidity, a few weeks ago, I was standing, and I was with my bed. We were dressed ready. We'd gotten dressed ready. She was going to teach. I was going to come here to church. We were just going about our work day. It's probably around 7 o'clock. And so that we're in there brushing our teeth. And, you know, again, in a moment of stupidity, for some reason, I turned sideways and looked at myself in the mirror, fully clothed. But I just said, again, in this moment of just weirdness, I said, honey, my whole backside has changed. To which my wife, in a moment of just sheer astonishment, looked at me and said, tell me about it. You know? Beauty, the things that we value, the things that we find attractive, the things that we say, you know, it has to be this way to be assigned some certain level of beauty. Listen, you can't hang on that for that for long. Now, listen, I know some of you are fighting that tooth and nail. You are not going gently into that whatsoever. And I get it. But gravity wins. Sooner or later, you know, the law of thermodynamics catches up with you. It catches up with us all. What do we do about that? Well, this woman has figured this out. While there may be an attraction that you will have, young man, there might be a beauty physically that catches you. There might be, you know, the way that she presents herself that is sexually, physically appealing. Understand that over the course of time, one is exchanged for the other. The beauty or the strength that comes from the physicality morphs into the wisdom and the maturity, the splendor, the dignity of old age. And I'm thankful that, you know what, I can stand here with integrity and say that to you this morning, that while my wife is still physically beautiful to me, I will say that the more the Lord works on me and the Lord works on her, there really is this true experience of what it means for the two to become one, as the Bible says. And for me to look upon her, you know, as someone who is beautiful to me because of what I know about her at the depth of her soul, where I know that she can go spiritually, intellectually, emotionally, to watch her work in settings to where she gives wise counsel in places. And I go, that's my girl. And it's not attached to anything physical about her. Those of you that have that experience of enduring through the growing pains of marriage and relationships, you begin to see that transition. You begin to understand that. And as long as you're walking with the Lord and as long as you have breath in your life, He's in the process of transforming your heart ever increasingly from one degree of glory, the Apostle Paul says, to another. To where we slip these bodies that have completely wasted away, and there's not anything of beauty in them hardly at all anymore, and we slip these bodies and we go off in eternity fit with a beauty for heaven. That's what this mom is telling this guy to look for. She laughs because she's hopeful, and that hope comes from a sense of center, not in herself, but in God. The glory of the young is their strength. The gray hair of experience is the splendor of old. And that, while that may shift over the course of her life, she understands that what she wears comes from the roots of her character. Paul says it this way in Ephesians 4:21, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, get rid of the old fashioned, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, rather, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Let God speak over you. Let God identify you. Let God tell you who you are. And in doing that, put on, wear your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. This mom is telling this son that that is the beauty that you're looking for. And it's obviously not just from a guy's perspective to see that in the woman that he loves, but it's obvious for any woman out here who would seek to find that in a man. That's why I'm saying the principles of character go beyond the identity here of male or female. This woman has a hope, and this hope is rooted in her confidence, not in herself, but in God. And it's demonstrated with the kind of preparation. She's able to laugh at the future because she trusts in the God who holds her. Her hope isn't a blind hope. It isn't a misplaced hope. It isn't a careless hope. It is the object of her faith. The object of her faith is a real and personal God. And the activity of her faith looks forward to a world that is under his control. That's why she laughs at the future. She's not worried about being out of control because she trusts and honors with her life the God who is in control. Her fear is not from the anxiety of the unknown, for she lives in a healthy fear of the Lord. She hopes because she trusts in what she knows. That's where her laughter comes from, because what she knows is that God is in control and he holds her hope. Some of you ladies, you're just figuring that out here, perhaps. Some of you girls are still trying to figure it out, still trying to see the sense of who's going to hold my rope, right? I'm looking for that person from the Hallmark movie who'll kiss me in the snow. And I'm wanting to, you know, hand that person my ropes. You know, surely there's a man out there who will die trying, right? Only to leave you hanging by a thread. Because a man was never intended to be that for you. A woman was never intended to be that for you. You laugh at the future only because your hope is in God. He holds your rope. He holds your rope. Through the pain, through the suffering, through the uncertainty that you feel, he's got you. And that's what this woman knows. And that is why she laughs. Secondly, we see that she speaks. She speaks. Verse 26, and when she speaks, her words are wise. And she gives instructions with kindness. Don't you love people like that? Another way to say this is she teaches with loving instruction. She teaches with loving instruction. Think about that. Think about the women of faith in your life. Do you have one of those right now? Have you had one of those before? I mean, they are precious. I see their faces, many of them gone, have left this world. But they were the women of faith in my life, and I miss them tremendously. Who has filled their shoes for you? And whose shoes are you filling? Are you the person of faith now that's passing down this wisdom to someone else because of what's been passed down to you? The Apostle Paul clearly saw this in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, when he writes Timothy. He says, Timothy, I remember your genuine faith, but I know where it comes from. For you share the same faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that the same faith continues strong in you. Is there a man in this room that hasn't figured out, probably from the time you were 8 years old, that there were certain things you went and talked to your dad about, and there were certain things you would never talk to your dad about? I mean, there were times, man, that I was headed, there was a beeline going for my mother, right? There were things that I would only talk about with my mom. Like the first time a girl broke my heart, she was a fool. She really was. Because my mother told me so. You know, and I would never have discussed this with my father. No, it was running straight to my mother. And then I went to my grandmother for reinforcement. Their words, these women, their words are gold to your confidence, and they are balm to your wounded soul, aren't they? Paul doesn't let Timothy forget this. And this woman, this mom, doesn't let her kingly son forget it either. Proverbs 13, verse 14 says, "The instruction of the wise is like a life-giving fountain. Those who accept it avoid the snares of death." You actually want, my grandmother in particular, my mom's mom in particular, I wanted her to correct me. I mean, even when she had to fuss at me, I loved it. Because of the way she did it. Proverbs 12, verse 18 says that some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. This woman speaks, but she definitely thinks before she speaks. And even if she has to cut you, it's the cut of a surgeon, not the cut of a mugger, but the cut of a surgeon that's required to heal. She laughs because she has hope. She speaks because she is wise and she is kind. And then finally, she watches. She watches. She carefully watches everything in her household, and she suffers nothing from laziness. She watches everything in her household, and she suffers nothing from laziness. There's just this perspective of is that, you know, she's cared about the provision for her family. It's a character that says, what is it, you know, economically, home economically, what is it economically, what is it spiritually, what is it emotionally that I can provide that sense of touch and care for? These are the things that she is most attentive to because she believes that that's what God is most attentive to. And so as he's transforming her heart, she watches over things. In other words, in Isaiah 40, verse 11, I like the way it describes, this is describing Messiah, Jesus, but it's a prophetic statement from Isaiah 40 years before Christ was born, but it's talking about him. Verse 11 says that he, that is Christ, will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. Look at that expression. He will gently lead the mother sheep with her young. That the mother sheep who is watching over her little ones understands that she's being watched over by the good shepherd. It's interesting that this passage is here because if you follow the church calendar, we are in the fourth week of the resurrection. And this particular Sunday in the old church calendar is Good Shepherd Sunday. He will gently lead the mother as she watches over her young. I don't know about you, but I'm envious of a mother's keen eye. I am now. I was scared to death of it when I was young. Mom had eyes in the back of her head, right? That's what we grew up believing, that mother had eyes in the back of her head. She sees everything. Mama knows. Mama knows. And if you don't believe mama knows, then believe Merle Haggard. She tried. Mama tried, right? I mean, mom had this uncanny ability to know what was going on, even when you thought it was completely hidden from her awareness. This awareness to the emotional and spiritual state of the affairs in the home is only equaled, again, by the awareness of what you need to be doing as her son or daughter. Are you eating enough fruits and vegetables? You know, when was the last time your bed sheets were washed, for crying out loud? Throw that towel, you know, in the washing machine. I mean, you know, the underwear don't belong in the pantry. I mean, just all these things that mom is aware of and giving oversight to, right? Mama knows. It doesn't matter how she knows, but she knows. It's hard to hide from the watch care of your mama, even when you don't think she's looking. One of our friends we were out with last night said, "Moms feel the ick." Mamas have this, mom has this yuck radar going on there. And if you are injecting yourself amongst a friend group, right, as normal as they may look, mama can tell the ick. Mama knows the yuck. She watches, and she's aware. Mama smells the smoke before there's fire. Dad can be in the garage changing the oil while the four-year-old is hanging just beyond his vision by a shingle off of a roof. And Dad will keep changing the oil. Mom may be doing 100 other things in the house, but she knows the four-year-old is hanging by a shingle. And if she doesn't intervene, he will die. Because dad's changing the oil. Mama knows because she watches. And I am so thankful. I am so thankful that she does. Because again, there's only certain conversations that you can have with her. And God bless every one of us here who know what it's like to have a grandmom. That reinforces it. And so, as these things lift from the text, and as I leave you today to go off to your lunches and your Hallmark cards and your flowers that I hope you will be adored with today, ladies, I want to tell you that you're worth it. You're worth it. You know, a shampoo commercial doesn't have to tell you that. You merely need to look around you. And whether it's said or not, the people who are with you are a reminder of how you have invested your life. Of how you have invested your life. The scripture says that her children stand and bless her. And that's one of those things that I'm almost, it's hard for me to say because I know some of you are still waiting on that. Some of you still are waiting on that. And some of you may never get that. And you look back on your life and you're like, where's the redemption in all of this? My encouragement to you is that there's still time. There's still time for the adult children that you've poured into to see that it wasn't as easy as they thought. That you really did know a little bit more than what we gave you credit for. There's still time. For those of us to see the light and to see you for who you truly are. A woman of godly character, she laughs at the future because she hopes. A woman of godly character thinks and speaks wisdom and does so kindly, understanding that there is power in her words that she possesses like no one else. And she watches. Mamas know that they've been blessed with a godly character that not only understands a relationship with the good shepherd that sometimes is escaped by men, but should be pursued and known by men. You have the privilege of modeling for men sometimes what it looks like to have an affection for the Lord Jesus that men should still aspire to have. And as a result of that, the watch care that he provides for you is moving you to that kind of character that does the same for your family and for those around you, even in your friend group. Every one of you, it's so funny. I remember when Christina and Joe dedicated Daisy, Joe and Christina, our worship leaders, they dedicated Daisy today. And I can remember before there was a Joe and Christina, I can remember Christina in high school and her friend group was called Mom even then. Some of you in your high school friend groups are looked upon as the mom because you demonstrate these things. And as tongue-in-cheek as that may be said, even as disparagingly sometimes as that may be said, it's a quality worth desiring. It will serve you well for the rest of your life. Mom, thank you. Bless you. Praise you. You're worth it. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the gift of relationship with you. Thank you for the way that is expressed in our lives as men and women, uniquely in the roles that you've given us to play in this world. Thank you, Father, for how we model this kind of character for one another. I pray, Lord, that you would root us in a confidence in you that drives away our fear and our worry and enables us to hope for our future. Father, I pray that you would give us a knowledge and understanding of who you are that we might express that, represent that through the things that we say. And Father, as you give us the kind of attention to those that you place within our charge, I pray, Father, that we would give that the same kind of watch care that you give us. I ask that for myself and for all of us gathered here. You would dismiss us with your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a wonderful afternoon. God bless you. We'll see you.